All right. Well, again, we are glad that you're here this morning. We're going to continue in our series, Your Work, God, and People. And whenever I say work, it doesn't have to be limited to your vocation, because those of you who are students, that's your work. That's the way, the place that you do a lot of work, and they want to send work home with you. It's probably why I never did do well in school, because I thought, no, you're getting my 8 hours. That's all you're getting. Anyway. But this morning, I want to talk to you about an aspect of your work that I am trusting the Holy Spirit to enlarge our thinking and understanding. I mean, let me ask you, what if for each one of us obtaining God's best in your life, what if that will never happen? What if that can't be done alone? All by yourself? What if grace, in particular grace, the power to change, is not just communicated to us on a personal level? What if God designed faith to be more than just a deeply personal experience? It is that. But what if He designed us in the new creation, new birth? He designed us to need others. What if community, connecting with others, is more vital than what we've experienced? Let's go back to the beginning and look at this. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone." You know, Pastor, that's right. I cannot leave my husband at home for an hour. I can't be gone for an hour because I don't know what's going to happen to the kids. I don't know if the house will be... No. Confession is good for the soul. Okay. That's not exactly what we're talking about here. God said it's not good. You see, right now, Adam is the only one there. So, anyway. But I've had people say to me, "Pastor, I don't really need friends because God meets all of my needs." Okay, well, God does supply our needs, yes. But there are some needs that He fulfills directly, and there are other needs that He fulfills indirectly. Is that not what happened here in the garden? God is saying, even though I'm here, there's still something Adam needs that's going to need to come from another person. One of the clear mandates of Scripture is God wants us to connect with and get along with others, and not just the people we like. And this constitutes a challenge. Getting along with others. Proverbs tells us, where there are no oxen, the stalls are clean. But through the strength of the ox, there comes much increase. And not just in ox poo. You get a lot of other things done, but you've got to clean the stalls. Relationships are that way. But it's worth the risks and the effort to make it happen. Getting connected is work that involves God and people. To connect with people, you have to be committed to ironing out all of the relational wrinkles that show up. And some of you are a little more wrinkly than others, and you know who you are. That's a joke. Come on now. You all are wonderful. But you got to be committed to that, because in relationships, it's not always going to go your way. And you know what? That's a good thing, because I love you, but you're not always right. You're just like me. I'm not always right. You young ones won't know, but some of you who are a little bit older, you'll remember who Red Skelton was. Okay. He had this interesting observation. All men make mistakes. Married men just find out about them sooner. Yeah. Romans chapter 12, verse 18 says, if it is possible, as far as it depends, there's something dependent upon you, live at peace with everyone. In other words, you realize God doesn't get along. He's perfect, and he doesn't get along with everyone. Why? Because there's just some people that will not get along. But as much as it depends on you, you are to be at peace with people. The discipline, here's the core of this. The discipline needed for a consistent personal faith is vastly different than what is required to make community, corporate gatherings work. In other words, getting along requires a different set of virtues than being alone does. And this isn't easy. Sometimes getting along with people can be hard. Well, Pastor, why does God want us to do it if it's hard? Because God wants you to do hard things. You're not in heaven yet. You're dealing with your flesh. Other people are dealing with their flesh. And when that happens, all kinds of things hit the fan. And it's not pretty. It's not easy. But you got to be committed to working through to the other side, because it's worth it. It's worth it. We need to cultivate the virtues that help us do community, because we're not supposed to live our faith life on our own. Now, some of you, you're looking at me a little differently. You don't like what I'm saying. You see, I could preach this in a totally different context, and you'd be going, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah, we need each other. We're to lock arms. You know, the armor of God, Paul using there as an illustration of Roman shields, big shields, the ones that cover the body, and they have little attachments so that they could hook up with one another and march while all kinds of stuff flying at them, and they could just crush the enemy. Yeah, we need, and I could preach it in that context, and you're all shouting hallelujah. But whenever I tell you that you're not going to get everything that you need from God in this life here on earth by yourself, well, I don't know about that. What happened to the Protestant Reformation? It's faith alone, just me and God. They weren't all right and correct about what happened from then till now. Some of you are saying, okay, Pastor, I'm going to give you one verse, and this verse is the only verse you'll need on this, although there are many, many others. Ephesians chapter 4 tells us that the body of Christ, to grow up and to be strengthened, is produced by what every joint supplies. Again, same illustration. What is a joint? My elbow is a joint. It's where two members come together, and what is produced there. You're not going to get it all on your own by yourself. I'm sorry. Don't blame me. I didn't create the body of Christ. I've just been in it since the beginning. 2,000 years ago, you know. So what I'm telling you, you should really open up to. You need other believers. And some of you, your pushback on that is the reason why you are where you're at right now. Not necessarily here, but in life. You're spinning your wheels. You feel like you're not getting any traction anymore. I believe that God wants to us to see something to help us get that traction back, start making progress. So please, humor me then as we go through this. You see, sadly, there is little discussion or awareness of the need for others in walking by faith. Few people understand or appreciate the community component. And unfortunately, the reason why this is a problem is because of people like me who stand in a place like this. Yeah, I'm a preacher's kid, a PK. So I grew up around a lot of preachers. I mean, just by association. Let me tell you something about pastors. Pastors can be some of the most insecure, I won't say a phony front, but some can. But they isolate themselves too often from people, even in their own congregation, that they need a connection with. And I get it. You've been hurt. You've been burned. If you've done any kind of ministry, you know there's nothing like doing something for the Lord and having somebody, a believer, stab you in the back. Well, I want you to know Jesus went through this too. My own friend stabbed me in the back. Judas. This is not heaven. But you don't allow it to stop you from doing what God's called you to do. You don't stop it from allowing you to keep moving. Amen. People will be people. And that's part of our assignment, is to continue. So think with me. Let's start with something basic. When each one of us is telling somebody else our story, our faith story. You know, well, at this point in my life, I received Jesus. I said yes to Jesus. He came into my life, and then this happened, and I moved, and I went to this church, and I got involved in this ministry, and this on. We tell our story, but it's interesting when we're telling the story, every one of us can point back to someone and say, the connection with that person helped me at that point in my life to live my faith better, to get over a hump, to move forward. There's people in my life that I can look back to that God sent them at pivotal times in my life. And God used them to help me get on track. These kinds of God-orchestrated relationships are something that we all need to make time and place for in our lives. Even now, wherever you are in your faith walk, God uses people in other people's lives. God uses people in your life, in my life. We all need to embrace that and work to cultivate it, even sacrificially. You see this throughout the Bible. Let me just give you one example. Acts chapter 18. There's a guy. His name is Apollos, and he's in a Jewish synagogue, and he is preaching with such conviction and with such logic that nobody can resist the things that he's saying. But the problem is, there's somebody in the congregation. There's actually a couple, Aquila and Priscilla. They're listening to this guy. This guy is good. And he knows this stuff. Unfortunately, he only knows up to the baptism of John. He's not aware of Jesus. So they come to him and they explain to him more fully. He receives Jesus, and wow, what a powerful witness and proclaimer of the good news of Jesus Christ he becomes. And it's all because God sent Aquila and his wife Priscilla to Apollos at that point in his life. They helped him advance. You know, it's unfortunate to a certain degree that when we pray, oh God, help me. You know, we want him to do something spectacular. Drop provision out of the sky. Listen, I am grateful for the miracles that I've experienced, that I've received, the miracles that I've seen happen in other people's lives. But you know, most of the time, how does God usually reach to us? Well, I believe he established a pattern for our greatest need when God sent Jesus in the flesh as a person. We needed a person. Well, come on now, think with me. Well, God's God, why couldn't he just save us from heaven? But he didn't do that, did he? He sent someone to put on flesh to bring help to us. And now you know what? Help is still coming through Jesus. It's called the body of Christ. God helps us through each other. Now, I'm not limiting to that. God still does miraculous things, yes. But it's important that you realize some people, what did Brother Hagin say? He says, so many people are looking for the miraculous that they overlook the supernatural. Meaning that God will supernaturally work through other people. And just because it's not as spectacular as a miracle, we poo-poo it. It's not as big. We don't value it as much. Listen, God uses people. Okay, so let's now look at the words of Jesus. You ready? You sure? John 13, verse 20. I tell you the truth. Whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me. And whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me. Now, we could look at other verses that verify what I'm about to say. Because, see, when we don't fully receive people that God sends to us, the truth is, we are rejecting him and his help. Jesus made it clear to the Pharisees, you don't accept me, you're not accepting my Father either, the God you claim to worship. Okay, that was hard, so let's move on. So I want us to talk about, because we're here together right now, doesn't mean it's not applicable once you leave this building, but we are here together right now, family of faith, church. So in our family of faith context, connecting here involves groups. We have various small groups and ministry teams, which just are a group variant. Ultimately, connecting in a circle of a group is more important than sitting in rows. And you've known this for a long time. Because when you were in school, or if you're still in school, what do? They set you in rows. But when the bell rings and you get up and leave, what do? You go into the hallway and you gather in a little circle with your posse, with your friends. And the interactions there you look forward to more than the sitting in the rows. Could it be at church that you would be more excited about sitting in a circle with other people than you are sitting in rows right now? You're right, Pastor. The donuts are gone and I have to listen to you. Hearing how other people have worked through the difficult details of life is too often an overlooked vital resource in growing our faith. We all need people in our lives that will celebrate our victories. We also need people we trust to be honest enough to tell us the truth when they see that we're getting off course or about to crash and burn. In life, hear me, especially you younger set, but it's true, I don't care how young or old you are, we all hear all these great speeches about, oh, follow your dreams, your dream can take you anywhere, and you can have it all, just dream big. Okay, I don't deny the power of dreams, but you need to hear me carefully, everyone. I don't care where you're at in life. We never go as far as our dream. We only go as far as our team. If you don't have a good team, your dream ain't going to get fulfilled. Sorry. We need more than people who simply provide us company to have good time with, to party with. We need people who will help us carry out our calling and fulfill the dream. Therefore, some people's presence in our lives is not an accident. God sends certain people into our lives in certain seasons for certain reasons. And you need them. Don't neglect the gift that God sends to you and other people. However, we must see and accept them as being God sent. I'm going to go a little heavy on you again. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, around 28, 29, 30, right in through there. Scripture is talking about coming to the Lord's table and what that represents. And in essence, if I can just kind of summarize what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when you partake of the body of Christ, you are just not taking of Jesus' body that was broken, beaten, and shattered and put up on a cross. Paul extends that to the body of Christ, that I am a partaker and a participant. I am willing to receive from the body of Christ that God has put me in, this local expression of that. And he says, for this reason, many of you are weak, sickly, and some even die prematurely because they are failing to rightly discern the body. And so I just want to focus on the little part about weakness, because in all of our lives, in our careers, our ministries, and family, and whatever it is that we do in life, school, sometimes we feel weak. In other words, I don't have enough. Lord, you know, I'm just trying to serve you, but these kids are driving me crazy. Oh, God, my boss, I don't know if he's the Antichrist. He may not be 666, but he's 665.9. And you know, and we feel impotent. We feel powerless. We feel like, God, I've done everything, and I just can't seem to do anymore. That's because you're only doing your part. But your part, you're trying to do it all. When you do, you're trying to... You're trying to do too much. You're trying to extend. You're trying to do your part. Why isn't everything happening as it should, and I'm doing my part, and I'm doing it to my ability? It's because there's supposed to be other people who come alongside you and do their part too. And that's how you move. That way you don't feel as weak, because you're not rightly discerning the body of Christ. Well, I just don't want to be a burden to other people. Well, good. I hope you're not a burden to other people. But it's okay to say, you know what? I need people to stand with me. I feel weak in this situation. I feel a little stuck. I'm not making any progress. I've got no the momentum, the movement has stopped. And I need to know why. And this is where you need a band of believers who will connect with you, will stand with you, and do what's necessary to get things moving the way they need to go. I get it. I get it. I know. It's hard for even pastors. You know, we just do it. But that's why you become weak, sick. You're overworking yourself. In fact, who was it in Scripture that Paul wrote about? He says... It was Trophimus, I believe. He says, I've left him sick at so-and-so. He got sick because of the work of the ministry. He overdid himself. Anyway, the ministries at Family of Faith, groups, ministry teams, the things we do, they're about relationships. Relationship, connecting with other people, relationship that God uses. It's not just about learning content. Oh, let's come together and learn this content. There's a time and a place for that. You need to know the content. Sure, yes. Living your life on this planet, fundamentally, driving it down to the bottom, the two things, I mean, your faith life, of course, there's God, but the two things that you're going to need on this planet in your life when trouble hits, when things get difficult, you need God's word and God's people. Those are the two resources that God has given you. Oh, I just go to the word, Pastor Phil. Okay, that's great. Do that. It's not an either or. It's a both and. You need people. And to the degree that this just pet your cat for the wrong way, something that you do need to take to the Lord and say, okay, God, I don't know about all this, but I need you to help me and show me. What about this? Do I need to become engaged in? Get connected to other people. See, relationships, they're essential in growing your faith. And you know what? You need to be a person that God uses in the life of somebody else. That doesn't mean that you're perfect and that you have all the answers. It just simply means that you're making yourself available and sharing your story so that others can learn from the good and the bad that's happened in your life. Pastor, I don't know that I want to talk about the bad that's happened in my life, you know? Well, let me just ask you this morning. How many of you have stories that you wish nobody else would have to experience? I hope nobody ever has to go through this. How many of those things that you did that were dumb, that you're embarrassed and that you regret and so forth, how many of you did this with a friend or friends? And they were there and contributed to the story. They influenced it. Okay, there's a lesson right there. I don't care how old you are. Your friends, the people that you choose to make as your friends, that you invited to be your friends, they will determine the quality and the future of your, excuse me, the direction and the quality of your life. Your friends will determine the direction of your life and the quality of your life. Friends are important. You don't believe me? Just read the book of Proverbs. Friends will get you in trouble, or friends will make you and bring you over the top. In retrospect, you see, listen, let me just say this, because you know, some of you, that's the thing that you're afraid of. You're afraid of, I don't want to talk about it. It's too painful for me to talk about. No, but you've had time, the hurts, the pains in your life, to allow the Holy Spirit and God's word to interact on the inside of you, that you don't have to go into great detail. You can just say, you know, let me share with you. You talk to somebody and they're saying all kinds of things, and you're thinking, man, the road you're on does not go to happiness. You're blinded to some things. You know, you just say to them, you don't have to go into great detail about all the hurt, the anguish, the pain, and all the stupid things that you did. You know, I've been in a relationship that cost me a lot because I refused to see, and you name the thing that they're refusing to look at. I would not see that. I did not. I would not even look at it. Wouldn't even let people talk to me about it. But I'm telling you, if you don't want to experience crashing and burning, you need to consider that. You can do that with your story. Okay? There's ways to do this, that you can help other people. And you know what? Other people need your help. In fact, I got news for you. Come tell me your story because I need your help. I need your help. There's lots of people here who need your help. You have something of value that you need to share with other people. You need to communicate. You need to give that. See, in those situations, you've learned a lot about what to do differently, and that information is God intended to be shared with other people. This is how other people's faith, along with your own, it's how it gets bigger. Who you've surrounded yourself with will make or break you when you encounter the inevitable pivotal events in your life. If you have people around you who can help you navigate these events using Scripture, your faith will get stronger. But I got news for you. There's other people, and sometimes even other people who name the name of Christ, they will take the legs out from underneath your faith in those critical times. Be careful. Just because they're your friend doesn't mean that they're always bringing gospel truth to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be confirmed or established. Okay? See, you need a time and a place where you give permission to other people to speak into your life. And where you speak into other people's lives for their good. People who are moving forward with you in a growing relationship with Jesus. Those are the people that become near and dear in your life. Here at Family Faith, our groups and ministry teams are not primarily designed to find you new friends. Although that may happen, that's good. But rather, it's about growing your faith by connecting with others. Now, here's the thing is, some of you, you think, man, my life is full. I hear you, Pastor, but my life is full. I've got friends. I don't need any more friends in my life. There's just not room to do that. I hear you. But let me tell you a way, a perspective to adopt, to look at this. You don't have to raise your hands, but some of you, you have a few very good near and dear friends that would lay down their life for you, and you would lay down your life for them. There can't be a lot of those, okay? I get that. But then you have some other people that are very good friends. You love them. Love you, but I don't know if I'd die for you, but I love you, and I'm glad you're here. And you know who you are right now. But now, go on further. You have work friends. You have, you got your close friends, but you have school friends. You know, oh, hey, man, how you doing? Good to see you. And, you know, do that kind of thing. You got people in the neighborhood. Hey, how's it going across the street there? Yeah, good to see you, man. Yeah. Let's have a cookout soon again, you know. And, you know, they're a little more than acquaintances, but then, you know, you do have those acquaintances in life, right? You know how to navigate this. Listen, you have your church family. Just like you have your flesh and blood family. You have your church family. And you can connect with people to the degree that there comes this openness, this connectivity. Doesn't mean that you're going to be doing everything every weekend and taking your vacations together. If that happens, wonderful. Go for it. I don't care. I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm just saying you are shoving out the very ones that you need to draw near to most in this conglomerate of friendships. Don't neglect, don't fail to discern, rightly discern the body of Christ. So you need a time and a place where, yeah, I'm meeting with my faith family friends. My family of faith friends. And we have this time together, and they're there, and the groups that you're in, they may change people, but God will bring people, as we said, for different reasons in different seasons of your life that you need. And some of us are just overlooking. It's just, when's my ship coming in, Lord? I've sent you 5 ships already. 2 of them you sunk. And the other 3 you just waved on by. You remember in John chapter 6, this wasn't the only time it happened, but there's this large crowd of people coming to Jesus, and we're talking thousands upon thousands of people showing up. Jesus looks over at his disciples, looks at the crowd, and he says, hey guys, where are we going to get food enough for all these people? Oh, Jesus, I don't know. And then, you know, Philip pulls out his calculator. Man, if we had almost a year's salary, that wouldn't be enough just to buy bread for them, just to have a little bite. Oh, we can't do it, Jesus. Send them away. Let them go get their own food. They're grown-ups. It's too hard, Jesus. But then Jesus says, I want you to go out into this crowd. And I want you to sit up, have them sit down in groups of 50 or whatever. Jesus, when they do what Jesus tells them to do, see, this is a partnership. There's a reason why Jesus has them sit down in groups. None of you understand, you know, processes. You understand that you've got to know who's had food and who hasn't. Who's already eaten. And you're serving this group twice and we haven't got fed yet. You know, you're going to have a problem if they're just willy-nilly. You have to set them in groups. You have to be organized. Anyway, they do what they do. Jesus does what he does. And people are fed. Jesus, throughout his life and ministry with them, kept asking them to do things that they thought they couldn't do. But he's teaching them something about faith. This is about trusting him when you are facing circumstances that are too big for you to handle by yourself in your own ability and resources. Some of you, you can easily remember when you were stretched outside your comfort zone in doing ministry and your faith grew more than when you listened to 15 sermons in a row. If that hasn't happened to you yet, you ought to try it. Because doers, not just hearers, doers are blessed. It's in your inadequacy that you begin to experience God's adequacy in your life and through your life to minister to others. This, again, is how your faith gets bigger, to trust him in any kind of storm that comes against your life. For many of you, it's your fear. It's the reason why you don't get involved in groups or anything with faith people. But your fear is the place that God wants to do something great in your life. You do what you can do. Okay, but Pastor, I'm afraid. Okay, do it when you're afraid. Do it afraid. It's okay. And then trust God to do what only he can do. Because I got news for you. The bigger your trust in God, the richer your relationship with him is. Okay, about time for us to wrap up. So let's review and sum up quickly. I'm going to read another verse of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always keeps his word. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out, not avoiding worshiping together, as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching. Now, some of you who may be a little bit more from my side of the tracks, theologically, Pentecostal, charismatic, but it's just not there. I grow a little weary. Some people I know, oh, Pastor, in these last days, God has promised he's going to pour out a mighty outpouring of his Holy Spirit, and it's just going to flood. And I'm thinking, yeah, okay, I got no problem with that. I'm there with, but the difference is you want to be a spectator. You want to, okay, God, I'm ready. Got my popcorn here, my big soda. Bring it on. And you want to watch everything happen. You want to be a spectator in it. Here's a thought. Why don't you be a part of it? Amen. People that God uses, a person that God uses to bring it about. Because it only takes one little spark. You ministering to somebody else can start a big revival. Anyway, the day is approaching and we need to be together. See, most of us view the individual nature of our spiritual experiences and discoveries as so holy, so sacred, that whatever value we do place on community, corporate times together, is pretty much based on whatever we get out of it personally. In other words, I come to church because it's a me thing. It's me. It's what I get out of it. And that's why I don't do anything anywhere else, because I need to be in here to get out what I need to get out of it. But what if we must get beyond the me thing to experience the exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think that Paul talks about in Ephesians? What if we'll never get past the past until we learn to do the others thing better? What if the deepest and most terrible parts of our lives never get uprooted until we can talk about those issues with trustworthy others who encourage us and were willing to lock arms with us and move? I do really believe the heart of God is that the church, you and me, is to be a place where a person can be honest about his or her doubts without being met with worn-out cliches or empty platitudes. A church that understands faith as a growth process in other people. Too often we expect other people to be where we are in our faith walk without realizing how long it took us to get there. Well, you should just be here, because just take this step. You know what? If the step for me to go sit on that stool is from here to there, I can try it, but I'm going to get hurt. And I know you're thinking, Pastor, I want to see that, and it's not going to happen. Why? The step is too big. There has to be steps to get there. And that involves patience, understanding it's a growth process in other people. In other words, grace, extending grace. I believe the heart of God is that church be a place where you can get help today, but be challenged to grow in your next step so that you're better prepared to face your tomorrow. A place where you belong, whether you're married, single, black, white, whatever race, divorced, widowed, young, old, rich, poor, smart, dull, whatever it is. A church where it's not difficult to find God. And where finding God is corporate worship together, our togetherness, just as much as it is individual. A church that is safe, where you can know and be known. But more than that, a place where you can find meaningful service that's impacting other people's lives, where you can commit to something bigger than yourself. A place that needs you. Let's get connected. For those of you that God is already speaking to, I'm going to invite you to take your service program out. And there's something in there. It's a communication card. Now, I don't remember exactly what it says on one side or the other. It may say something about guests and then members. Just ignore that. Both sides are for you. Whether this is your first time here, you've been here for 50 years. Well, church hasn't been here for 50 years, but whatever it's been. Anyway, no, we have been. We had our 50th anniversary last year, didn't we? Okay. I remember that. Good times. Anyway, if God's been dealing with you, fill it out. You say, Pastor, you know what? I've been here for 5 years, and I filled this thing out 3 times, and nothing has happened. Would you extend grace to us and forgive us and fill it out again and keep filling it out again until something happens? We are working on it. But you know what? As we often say, if you're looking for a perfect church, we're not it. We're not perfect people. But we do serve a perfect Savior who we're following, and we want to become more like, but we're still growing. We're not there yet. So if that's you, if you're not perfect, this might be the place for you. But anyway, look over your communication card, fill it out. Put it in the offering buckets at the back. Bring it next week. Fill it, put it in. I don't know. Again, we need you to lean in and find out what you can do instead of stepping back because of what you can't do. I'm so busy, I don't know that I can. Well, talk to us, because you need to connect with other people. You need to, in time, develop a faith family close enough with people that you can trust to share things that are on your heart, because they may, you know what, I was praying and God spoke to me about this very thing, and let me take, listen, that's the way God will use people. Well, why can't I just pray and get it by myself? Because we're the body of Christ. Amen. This doesn't say that God isn't going to speak to you personally on your own. He does. But when you're not hearing anything, maybe try something different. Because you know the definition of insanity is to keep doing the same thing, the same way, over and over again, and expect different results. Let's all stand. Father, I thank you for Family of Faith. I thank you that you've put us together in this season of our lives. And Lord, I believe that you are preparing us to do significant and wonderful things that's going to change the destiny of so many people's lives. Lord, there are thousands of people coming to our area, in addition to the ones that are already here who need you. Maybe they've just been hurt and burned in churches, and they're not really open. Lord, they'll fit in here, because all of us have experienced that. But we're here together because we're committed to ironing out the relational wrinkles. We're not perfect, but Lord, you help us to do what you've called us to do. And you who've begun a good work in us, you'll complete it. And one of the ways that you'll do that, you do that to complete it, is to use people around us. So Lord, prepare our hearts. Prepare our hands to be people who are willing to extend a hand to help, and a heart to love and to care and to share. In the name of Jesus.